I'm Robin. I'm the lead pastor. Welcome to Eastlake. We're a church for everyone, and doesn't it seem like everyone at some point needs a miracle in their life? Today we're going to talk about a group of people, their story in the Bible, that have a dream. But the only way their dream is going to come true is that they get a miracle. And, you know, when you have dreams and you have a vision, at some point in your life you realize that the only way I'm going to get that dream is that I get a miracle. And these people, if you were to take a look at their story, it's like an action movie. And like the star of the story in the beginning is this man named Moses. He's like Batman. You know, he like comes out of nowhere, and God uses him to rescue his people. He's a Hebrew guy, and his people are the Hebrews, and they're slaves in Egypt. And so here comes Batman, Moses, and all of a sudden, you know, he swoops in. He's like the superhero, and he performs all these miracles. And the Egyptians have to free the Israelites, the Hebrews. So now they're all free, as the story goes. But like any time you get a miracle, then the question is, what do I do next? It's like, where am I supposed to live, and what do I do next with my life? Because sometimes when you get a miracle, then the thing is like, well, what do I do after I get the miracle? It's like this dog in the neighborhood. I mean, I don't know if you have one of these yapping dogs in your neighborhood, but every time a car has to go by, the dog has to yap, 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 and run after the car, bark, 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 and the car takes off, you know, and then, you know, a little while later, another car comes through, and the dog's like, bark, 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 he chases the car, you know, the car speeds off, you know, and one day this car comes by, and this dog just chases after, it's like, rah, 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 and the car just stops right in the middle of the road, and the dog's like, rah, 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 and he goes up, and he goes, sniffs the car a little bit. He didn't know what to do because he'd never caught a car before. And sometimes when you catch a miracle, you're not sure what to do next. And they're like, well, where do we live now? And what are we supposed to do with our life? And God says, don't worry about it. I have this nice little piece of property for you set aside. It's called the Middle East. And so, you know, they go and they see the land and they see all this stuff and they well, this is awesome. But the problem is there's these like ginormous cities there with all these people living in them and these huge armies that say, don't even think about it. You're not coming in here. And maybe you have a dream and you started out towards that dream and something happened and in its own way it said, don't even think about it. You're not getting this dream. This vision isn't going to happen. And so the Hebrews, you know, they size up the situation and they decide, we'll take a pass. They totally give up their dream. In fact, they get so discouraged that they decide to go back to Egypt. For them, it's better to be slaves. And now here's the principle. If you don't have a dream or a vision that calls you forward, you won't stay in the same place. You'll go backwards. And they tell this, you know, they start to talk, well, Egypt, you know, it was really good to live there. And here's what they say. It's comical. They say, they gave us onions to eat back there when we were slaves. It's like, you know, the really stupid things we tell ourselves to wimp out on our dreams. Let's go be slaves again. We get all you can eat onions. Such a deal. But what do you tell yourself? What have you said to yourself when the obstacle comes up and you say something to yourself so you can wimp out on your dream? And God, he's sort of like, okay, if you don't want the land. And then there's this amazing act of patience by God. He decides to wait 40 years for their children to grow up to see if maybe they want the land. Now, if you're like me, you're probably very aware of what you're waiting for God to do in your life. You're like, God, I'm waiting for this to happen. But do you know what he might be waiting for you to do in your life? This is a completely different take on God. It's like the people are not waiting for God. God is waiting for the people. So here's my question. Is God waiting for you to do anything so he can help you have your dream? Because he'll be patient. He waits 40 years for the next kids. And the kids aren't like their parents. They're like, yes, we want the land. We have a dream. We have a vision. And their leader, his name is Joshua. Now Joshua was sort of like Moses' helper. So he's like the assistant manager, the lieutenant governor. That's his job. And all of a sudden, now he's in charge of all these people, and they all have this dream. We're going to go into the land. Now, here's the thing, though. All those big cities, they're still there, filled with all those people, and those armies are still there. So guess what? When you have a dream and you wimp out and decide, oh, I'm not going to have the dream, when you start again, you'll start at the same place. It'll all be waiting for you. And so they like size up the situation and they're going to go in there. And that's what Joshua is facing now. All the obstacles. He's in charge. So So the question is, when I have a dream and the obstacles come up, what happens? It's the big idea this weekend. Look in your notes. You need faith in miracles to reach your vision. So today, the sun stands still. We're going to pick up the story with Joshua and these people and how they pursue their dream. Let me read this part of the Bible to you. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. And that's what all guys want to be included in. The best fighting man is who you want to be. He's got his. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." So let me tell you the backdrop now. He gets off on a really super rocky start because God tells him, he says, when you go into the land, I want you to wipe out and run out all the people that were there. So like, let me give you sort of a scenario. Let's say that somebody comes up to you and they say, "Hey, I want to give you and your family a house to live in. It's totally free. You get a 7-bedroom house and it has a finished basement and a 3-car garage. And it has a trash compactor in the kitchen. And it has a little doghouse in the back. And there's an apple tree. It sits on an acre of land. It's all for you. There's a trout pond in the back." I just made that part up. But anyways, it's like perfect. You get it as a gift. But there's one problem. There's a gang of drug dealers that live in the house now. You're like, "Well, go ahead and evict them. Get them on out of there." He says, "Oh, no. It's your house. You've got to get them out of there." That's what Joshua is facing. Great gift. I have a vision for how my family is going to live in that house. It's going to be awesome. We checked out the schools. This is perfect. Oh, those drug dealers are living in the house. God says we have to run them out of the land. Now, sometimes when people read the Bible, they think, mean God, bad God. He's not a nice God to those people living there. Well, here's what it'd be like. Could you live in your brand new house with a gang of drug dealers in there? Would they match the vision for your family? See, they got a whole idea of what they're going to do in the house and their life they're going to live in the house and how they're going to use the house. They've got a completely different way they're going to habitate that house. So here's the thing. Either it's going to be like they want the house to be or how like you want the house to be. Either it's going to be their house or your house. Either they're in the house or you're in the house. So God says, "Joshua," so into the land he goes. He's convinced, "I'm going to wipe them out." Here's the big, huge mistake he made. He goes into the land, and he's got these instructions, wipe them all out, except there's these Gibeonites there. And the Gibeonites are sneaks. They're rascals. They're sneaky. And they come up to Joshua, and they say, "We come from a faraway country, and we heard all about you, and we just want to make peace with you, and we want an alliance with you." And so Joshua doesn't check their references. He doesn't pray and ask God about it. And so he makes an alliance with these people, only to find out that the Gibeonites live right in the middle of your house. So check it out now. Somehow you get into an alliance with one of these drug dealers that live in your house, and now you have to let that drug dealer stay. You have an alliance. Have you made an alliance with anything in your life that makes it difficult for your dream to come true? Joshua's made a huge mistake. He's made a partnership with these people. They have a completely different agenda than he has for the land. Do you have anything like that going on in your life? You make a huge mistake. And right off the bat, he makes it. I mean, he doesn't even hardly get into the land, and he makes a mistake. There's a subway in New York City. This guy's riding on it, and it's after breakfast. He has a stomach flu, and he's like, gurgle, 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 gurgle. He just like feels it coming on. He goes, "Oh, I'm not going to make it to my stop." You know, he's just gurgle, gurgle, and he's just like, "I'm going to Ralph. What am I going to do?" He looks around. There's nowhere. And all of a sudden, the door opens up, and he runs. "I got to get off this." He runs out as fast as he can. Right when he gets to the door, he can't hold it. The door opens up. He's just like, "Bleh!" There's a guy standing right there. The door shuts, and the subway leaves. And there's this guy standing there with puke all over him. How'd you like to start your day that way? Now, the guy on the side is like, "Wow, I feel a lot better." But not the guy that got puked on. Joshua, just get started, man. And these guys are feeling, "We're feeling good now. We got an alliance. They're not going to kill us." And Joshua's like, have you ever made a mistake like that? Where you've made an alliance with something, you've allowed it into your life, and it's not going anywhere now? You're like, "Crap, this is going to ruin my dream." this is going to be really hard. And so what we're going to look at today is, how does God get around it? How does God work with them so they can still have their dream, even though they've made this allowance? Because what Joshua decides is that the dream is still worth it. And so he decides to keep going. And look in your notes here where it says, number one, it takes effort. We're going to look at three things today. Because he makes this big, big, huge mistake, and he has to decide, is it still worth putting the effort into it? And I don't know about you, but like when I make a big mistake, especially right in the beginning of it, I usually say to myself, why bother? I mean, why bother? It's never going to happen now. I mean, why should I even put any effort into it? I can't go back to school now. I've got two or three kids running around here in stinky little dirty diapers. Why even have a dream to go to college? Why bother? You know, why bother thinking about starting a small business? I'm already up to my eyeballs in credit card limit now. I've already made mistakes. And so this is a story about a man that made a mistake, but he decides that his dream is still worth it. Do you know, here's something you should understand, is that there was five kings in this land. And so they find out about this alliance. So here's their secret plan. They decide that they're all going to come together and make this super army. And so these five kings come together, and they attack the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites are like, help, Joshua, help, help, remember your promise. And now Joshua has to fight a battle that he shouldn't even be fighting. Are you fighting any battles in your life simply because of some mistake you made? It's not a good battle, but you're fighting it because you screwed up. And now you're fighting a battle that you should never have even had to fight. And it's cool how God shows up, too, because God doesn't say, you know, Joshua goes to God and says, God, I got to win this battle now. I have to do it. And God doesn't say, whoa, Joshua, last time I checked, you didn't even pray about this. You're on your own, bub. You made this mess. You can clean it up. Maybe your parents said that. Maybe a teacher said that. Maybe your older brother said that. Maybe your older sister said that and said that and said that and said that. Maybe you said that, but God did not say that. God said, Joshua, listen. They're not going to whoop you. In fact, don't be afraid. Because even though you're fighting a battle because you made a mistake, and by the way, every dream you have will be filled with battles that you're in only because you're human and you made a mistake. Every dream is filled with battles I have to fight because of something I did. I made a mistake. And the good news, God doesn't back away with it and said, listen, all the mistakes I make as God, oh, that's right, I don't make any. But all the ones you make, those are your responsibility. He jumps in and says, I'll fight with you. In fact, they will not be able to stand against you. So this first one, effort, you get an idea why Joshua is willing to put the effort into it. Thomas Edison, the inventor of the electric light bulb, he was well on his way in life, and he had a dream and a vision. Here's his dream. It's really simple. I want to make life easier for people. I'm going to invent things that make their life better. And so he is cruising now through life, and he builds this huge factory made of cement, and he's like inventing things all the time, all the time, all the time. I mean, he is rocking. He's at the time in his life where he's doing the very, very best, and then his factory burns to the ground. And because it was made of this new thing called cement back then, he didn't take fire insurance out on it, so he loses everything. Right in the middle of it, somebody makes a stupid mistake, and his factory and laboratory is gone. And the next day, some workers came down to look at what had happened, and really early in the morning, Edison's already there, and he's walking around the burned rubble, and he's just sort of kicking at it like this, and he's mumbling, and he's looking around, he's mumbling, and all he says, they're all burned up! Every one of them is gone! They're all burned. And at first his eyes like going wacko, but then it seemed like he was happy about it. Every one of them's gone. All the mistakes are burned up. Years later, he was giving an interview to somebody. He said, is that a true story? I said, oh, yeah. He goes, one of the happiest days of my life. And they said, why? He goes, I realized that all those inventions we were working on, we had blueprints and notes and detailed records, and I all of a sudden realized there were tons of mistakes in there, and they were all burned away. For the first time, I had a completely clean slate. And listen to this now. 30 days after that fire, he invented the phonograph. So God brought you here to tell you something today. You're going to fight lots of mistakes that come into your life, but he'll fight with you. And this first one, effort. Let's read this. Notice the effort that Joshua is willing to put into the battle still. My dream is worth fighting for, even though I made a screw up. Here it is right here. After an all-night march, circle that, from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. See, that's something. Sometimes we think when we make a mistake, well, I'm going to get my vision and my dream, but it's not going to be as good if I hadn't had this mistake that I made. Sometimes I sit with people and they end up getting pregnant before they get married, and they've maybe come out of some kind of culture that says, whoo, when you do that, there's absolutely nothing worse you could do. And so in their mind, they think, well, I'm never really going to have as good a family as I would have had had I had the wedding and got married and then got pregnant and like the way, you know, it's just never going to be as good. And that's baloney. It's BS, which stands for baloney stuff. Because listen, God's completely committed to your dream. You can have an awesome family. And it isn't, I'm not really trying to say whether it's a mistake to have sex before you get married or not. That's not my point. My point is when you find yourself in a place where you say, I don't get to have all of my dream because of something that I've done, that's baloney. Because you do, because completely defeated. Israel pursued them along the road, going to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makeda. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. Circle, and more of them died from the hail. So here he is now, Joshua, he's willing to put effort into a vision, even though he knows he's made a mistake. He starts to put the effort in. All night march. Listen, I have to ask you this question. Is there a mistake that you've made, and it's caused you to stop putting the effort in? It's been a long time since you did an all night march. In the name of your vision. Okay, now I get we all do all-night marches just to keep up with life, but I'm talking about something different here. I'm talking about a dream that you have for your life, and you're marching all night to get it. Or have you stopped somewhere along the line because you said, no, that's never going to happen for me because I made a huge mistake. So here's the thing. Joshua believes his dream is still worth it. So he's still marching. He's still trying. He's still pursuing it. And so is yours. And notice how God shows up here. It's when Joshua is marching that the hailstones start to come from heaven. I mean, God doesn't make the first move. Joshua does. He's like, let's go, man. Like, get all the guys that can really fight and let's go because our dream is still worth it. The land is still there. But Joshua, we made a big, huge mistake. So what? We got to go. And they start to fight and they do pretty well and they start to chase them. And then the hail comes. And I like that part because they're probably tired from fighting. And so listen, like you get into your dream and you've made a mistake and you start to fight and you start to get tired. And that's when God shows up. Do you need God to throw any hailstones for you in your life? And listen to the effort here now that Joshua puts in. He kills a lot of people, but the hailstones do more damage. Are you willing to put the effort in? Because dreams take effort. And Joshua says, my dream is still worth it. Just because I made a mistake, it's still worth it to put the effort in. Now here's the second thing. Right in your note, it takes faith. So the first one is it takes effort, and the second one is it takes faith. Here now in the Bible, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, sun stand still over Gibeon. Sun stand still. The sun is 865,000 miles thick, and it weighs 1.3 million times more than the earth. This wacko is standing up, yelling out to heaven, God, make the sun stand still. Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on his enemies. Now, here now. Here's the thing I love about Joshua. Even though he made a mistake, he's willing to put the effort in. And even though he made a mistake, he still believes God will help him. So it's one thing to pull your own self up by your bootstraps and say, man, I still want to have a dream, so I'm going to try really, really super hard. But it's another thing to say, you know, I think God still likes me. I think he still loves me. He's still committed to the dream too. I didn't do something that offended him so terribly bad that he bailed on me. I mean, it takes a lot of faith to pray this. You know, tell God to stop the sun? Joshua has a problem. He's running out of time. So he's like, man, I need the day to last longer so I can catch these scoundrels and get them out of here. So he says, well, this is what we'll do. Daylight savings time today. It's a sucky one where it springs forward so everybody's tired. But he's like, you know, sun, stand still. In God's name, I say, stand still. I need more time. And you may have done something in your life, and now you feel like, dang, I don't have enough time to accomplish what I want to accomplish. I got off track. I made a mistake. And now look at how old I am. Look at all these kids running around here, crazy little demons. I can't take care of all these kids and go to college and still become an engineer. I'm going to just have to work at Speedy Loop. I made some kind of mistake, and now, no, that's never going to happen for me. I'm too old now, and too much time has gone by. Well, now you're with Joshua. He has the faith that says, son, stand still. And let me tell you, sometimes when you what happens for you when you ask God to do something impossible? I mean, you ask him to do the impossible thing. And imagine Joshua now. Because if you ask the sun to stand still, I mean, can you imagine? Maybe he was like one of those really super charismatic type Christians. So he's got his hands up, eyes closed. He's like, maybe he even said like, you know, you've maybe seen him on TV. Oh, God. He's like one of those type guys. God, please, you know, I'll be a good boy. Sun, stand still. Oh, God. And he gets tingly all over and everybody's cheering. And then he looks up and he probably looked at the sun and thought, did it work? Because you wouldn't be able to tell right away if it worked. I mean, when you opened up your eyes, you'd look up at the sun and you go, is it moving? No, I think it did stop. And then you'd realize, I can't tell right now if it worked. And when you pray a really crazy prayer filled with faith, you won't know right away if it worked. He looks up at the sun and so we started this church for everybody that's made a mistake and is for everyone. And we started this church for people that still want to pursue their dreams. They still want a great family. They still want to serve God. So we started out in this church. So we come up here. There's 10 of us. And off we go. You know, we're going to have this great thing. And all these things are going to happen. And we start the church. And it's harder than I thought. And so we're starting, right? And we have this vision. And my friends, they would call me up. You know, it's just like, how was church last weekend? I'd be like, it looked about the same as the weekend before, you know. And said, I'd put my heart out there with you. I would go home and say, Jesus, it doesn't look like it's working to me. It doesn't look any different than last weekend. I wonder if Joshua freaked out when he said that prayer. He thought, God, it doesn't look like it's working. That's how I felt. And we have a vision for this church. I mean, we've got a vision. So I'll just put it out there. We're praying for God to give us 13 acres of land with a really great building that everybody can see from all around when they drive by. And we want to put a daycare in the building. So I know, like, tune out if you think it's crazy, but this is what we're going to do. We have already seen it, but it is sort of a sun stand still type prayer. We're going to put a huge daycare in because we live in a place where people like to have sex and have kids, and so they have tons of them. And so we're going to build a daycare, man, and it's going to be a great daycare. It's going to be super clean, and the people are going to be friendly, and when people come in, it'll be way safe because we'll background check them like 95 times, and it'll be clean and excellent, and when they come in every morning, they'll be welcomed by people that are really super warm and friendly to them. And then when they pick up their kids, we'll have after-school programs. They'll be like, wow, this is crazy, these people. This is making a real difference in my life. And it'll be a bridge for them to maybe think, well, maybe I could look towards church. Possibly. But I mean, sometimes I go home and I think, that's like asking the sun to stand still. How are we going to buy 13 acres? And build a building? And have a daycare? Who's going to run the daycare? I mean, what has to happen in your life? And it feels so stupid even to like try it. And then you do try it, and you look up, and you go, I can't see anything happening. But then the hours went by. And then Joshua realized, that sun's not moving. dang, this is crazy. I mean, it doesn't look like, look, come here. I mean, 6 hours has gone by. Look. Well, he didn't probably look at a watch. He didn't have them, but he probably looked up and said, look, it's not, God did it. We're going to have more time. If you're going to say a crazy prayer to God, you will have to feel a little like an idiot. He's like, I feel like an idiot telling you we're going to have 13 acres someday. I can't wait, though, that I can stand there, we can hug each other, and we can just all say, we ask the sun to stand still. Whoa. But how about your own personal life? Your dream. You're watching your kids, your family, your finances, your job, your health. The sun stands still. Joshua does it, and you know, he does it in front of everybody, it says. He doesn't go hide off in a corner and say, God, it'd be really super cool if you make that sun stand still. I'll be the man now they forget all about Moses. Everybody's watching. Well, we live in an interesting community. It's extremes. You have everybody that's way out there with their religion, and you have all the people that are not. And East Lake, we're sort of like right in the middle. We're just trying to come to the middle and say, it's okay to like let people know you have faith and you can invite them to church. Just make sure to love them like crazy if they say no. If you ever invite anybody to East Lake and they say, no way, I'd never go there, make sure you love them twice as much the rest of the day. You want to send the message, that's okay. Church is never going to come between us, ever. We're just like right in the middle. And Joshua prays the whole thing. So here's my question. What would be the prayer that it would be impossible if it occurred? But if it did, it would change everything for you. What would it be? You have a note sheet there. Just take a second and write it down. I don't see your hands moving. So, no, I'm serious. Like, get your note sheet and write something down. No, I don't care what it is. It's a fishing boat. I'm going to fish bass up at the lake. Lame prayer. But anyways, I mean, like, what would it be? An impossible prayer. And if it happened, everything would change. The sun would stand still. Now, here's the last thing. It's number 3 on your outlines. It takes a miracle. By the way, I decided to do this message today, and we're mailing this out this week. So this is going to hit next week. We're doing a couple weeks on money strapped. It's not like give more money to God or anything like that. It's about how to get a handle on your money so your money doesn't have a handle on you. So we're mailing this out to the community, so pray for this. And so I want to tell you about a miracle that happened. They close this facility every year. So 2 miracles have happened for us. When we first came here, the only thing we could find in West Valley was the far side of this room, a very small little room. So we took that, we started meeting. And now we get the entire, something happened and another thing happened. And now, as a church, we have the whole upstairs to ourselves. So that's like amazing. That's a miracle to me. And the other thing is, every Easter they close this facility. They close it. And so on Easter, you don't get to meet. Like a special time. You honor God. Like you resurrected. You're here. It's, you know, Easter's really important to us. Not even if nobody wants to come to the service, none of your friends want to come. It's important to us because the time that we connect again and say, none of this is possible without Jesus. By the way, East Lake, the things that we say is so we can get traction in our lives during the week. They're very, very practical, but they come with a little tag that says, don't try this without Jesus. Everything we talk about here is in the context of there's a living God to do it with. So it's not like lay a bunch of things on you and go home and say, I'm going to put more effort in. I'm going to try to say those prayers. And me, me, me. It's like self-help. It's not even that at all. Way different than that. Because he's alive. So Easter is really big for us, and we didn't have anywhere to meet. We couldn't meet here, and we could go to a school, and it was going to cost a lot of money. And so I was praying about it, and I felt like a nudge to ask them, well, what if we were to like pay for some employees to come in here? Would you be willing to open up the whole facility just for us as a church? Can you remember? That's like a sun standstill. Would you be willing to open the whole community center just for our church? I thought she's going to start laughing. She said, well, I'll check on it, and I'll see if anybody would be willing to do it. And she called me back 4 days later, and she very nonchalantly, yeah, there's an employee that will allow you to, you know, he's willing to come in, and you guys can have Easter there. So I'm trying to be all composed. Well, thank you, ma'am. That's very nice of you. I'd like a receipt for my check. I hung up the phone. I'm like, yeah! This is awesome! We get to have Easter here. It's a miracle. Should not have happened. And by the way, you need to know something. Miracles will always go against the facts. I mean, listen to this. It takes a miracle. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. The facts are, in physics, the sun doesn't stop. And anytime there's a miracle, it will not match the facts of the story. So there's a lady came into the church, and she had quite a story. We're watching a baptism happen, and she said, "I got to tell you the story of my husband and I. They're married now." She goes, "When we first got married, we went into the military, and we got transferred around. It was a lot of tension and fight. We're always fighting. It got worse and worse. And I finally said, I can't stand him anymore. I'm leaving him." So she leaves her husband. She just books on him, and she's living out on her own now. And she's telling me this story. She said, "I just decided to leave him. And so after I left him, he somehow went to this little Bible study on base, and he invited me to go, and I said, I'm not going anywhere with you, but I know he's going there." And he all of a sudden, he becomes a Christ follower. And I thought, oh, great, now I got a husband I don't like and a religious freak on my hands. And so, and he was diagnosed with cancer. And so now she's like in the vice, you know. It's like, I'm divorcing this guy already. He calls her up one day and says, "Listen, would you be willing to go just one time with me to Bible study, just once? I just want you to see what I believe God has used to change my life. I understand you don't want to be with me. Go one time." She said, "Well, guy's got cancer. They gave him 2 months to live, by the way." She's telling me this story in church after church. And so they go to the Bible study, and during the Bible study, they say, "Does anybody have a prayer request?" And so he raises his hand. He said, "Would you pray for me? I've been a terrible husband. I've used harsh words. I have not been a good husband to my wife, and I want to be a way, way better husband. And by the way, I also have cancer. I've got 2 months to live." And so they prayed for him. This is a true story now. She's telling me this. 4 days later, he goes to the doctor. They can't find the cancer. It's gone. They can't find it. He's like, "Did that happen?" Because he calls his wife up and says, "You're never going to believe this. I'm at the doctor's right now, and they said it's not a mistake. They've got x-rays to prove it. The cancer's gone." And she said, "I felt something at that moment." She goes, "Robin, I don't have any idea how to explain it other than to say this. When you see something like that, it changes your life." Now, I'm talking to them years and years and years later when they're married. Because when you see something like that, it changes your life. Miracles don't go by the facts. When the sun stands still, that doesn't catch the facts. Someone told you in your life, "I will never forgive you." That's the facts. But a miracle changes that. "I can't start a small business right now. I don't have any money." That's the facts. But a miracle changes all that. "I already screwed up my life. I'm on my second or third wife." But a miracle changes all that. It doesn't follow the facts. What miracle do you need in your life? This woman was in the church. She didn't go to our church, but she came and asked me through a friend if we would help her because her husband was abusive. So we helped her get out of the house and get into another place. She's had a little boy, and then here's the crazy part of the story. She gets out, and a couple months later, she finds out she's pregnant with her baby from her husband, but now she doesn't want to be with him anymore. And so she's living in this other house, and she's trying to rebound and get her life together. And her husband goes to a church service and becomes Christian. He becomes a Christ follower. And I will never forget the day that he's in my office, sitting in my office crying, saying, "I can't believe the kind of man I've been, and I don't blame her for leaving me, and I'll probably never, ever get another chance." He doesn't even know where his wife lives at this point. I mean, that's what had to happen so she could be safe. So she goes along and has the baby. He knows that the baby's born, doesn't ever get to see it. One day she decides, okay, this isn't fair. I should let him see the baby. So she sets up a visitation. He goes and sees the baby. And then they agree that on occasion, he gets to visit the child. Months go by. In fact, get this, she tells me, she's Christian now, she tells me one day she comes to see me, she goes, "My worst nightmare has happened." I said, "What is it?" She goes, "He's changing. The problem is I don't want to be with him, I hate him. I wish he would go back to how he was before so I could, like, ow." I said, "Wow, there's the facts." And she had visited me about a month later, and she came and she looked entirely different too. I hadn't seen her smile much in a long, long time. She goes, I got to tell you something. She goes, last week he came over to see the kid. It's the worst day of my week. He shows up like he always does, sloppy old stinky guy, comes in, he sees the kid. And then I decided to be kind enough, I offered to make him a sandwich for lunch. And so he sits down at the table and he starts eating the sandwich the same old way that annoys the hell out of me. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, God, I hate this guy. And she said, I looked out the window. There was a sliding glass door. She goes, I was sitting there and I looked out the window and I was thinking about, how did my life turn out like this? This is a freaking mess. And then she said, I looked back at him and she said, all of a sudden, I was filled for love with him. She's like, I started pinching myself. Think, what's going on here? And she said, the longer it went, the more love she felt. And she just knew at that point that God was putting them back together. Now listen, folks, does not match the facts. Now I got to ask you a hard question. What are the facts saying to you about your life? And they are facts. I get that. They are facts. But a miracle doesn't pay attention to the facts, transcends the facts, goes around the facts, goes through the facts, when the sun stands still. And this becomes at the very beginning of this whole thing with Joshua, because he has to learn an important lesson. God's going to fight with me. And put in your bottom line, the Lord is fighting for me. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. And if you'll grab your connection card, grab that, it's in your program. Would you grab it with me for a second? I want to talk to you about a couple things on the back real quick. The sun stands still. Where it says, my next step I need help with. This is the part that you get to start to make some movement towards God. And by the way, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your journey's like. You already have a dream. What is it you want to do with your life? Something's already happened to tell you, you can't have that. No way. Or you've probably already made a mistake that makes you think, if I get my dream, it ain't going to be as good as the big dream that I did have. But it can be. Or do you need help? And then the second one, I believe the Lord is fighting for me. That's the key. That's what Joshua learned.